Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's proclamation of the good news is what you heard there about the image of Jesus being the mother hen that gathers the brood under her wings. And it's also these words, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often I would have gathered you. In Luke chapter 9, verse 51, Jesus tells his disciples that he is going to set his face toward Jerusalem. And he is in Galilee when he says that, but now his plan, in Luke chapter 9 and forward, is to travel to Jerusalem, knowing that his fate in the will of the Father is going to bring him to Jerusalem. So Luke 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, he is still in Galilee, though, even though he has told his disciples, I'm going to Jerusalem. Now Luke 13, 31, where our gospel lesson was, the Pharisees, that very same day, it says, come up to Jesus and tell him that Herod is trying to kill you. You better go. Herod, that he's talking, the Pharisees are talking about, is Herod Antipas, who is a tetrarch. What that means is he is in charge of one of four areas. So Herod the Great, the one that met the wise men, when he died, his kingdom got split up into four regions. One of those regions is up in Galilee, where Herod Antipas is the king. That's King Herod that we'll hear about during Holy Week. Another one of the regions of King Herod was down by Judea, Jerusalem. The Romans didn't trust a child of Herod to be in charge of that area. So that's why Pontius Pilate is the governor of Jerusalem and Judea, that area. Jesus, up in Galilee, is in an area that King Herod is in control of. And the Pharisees are telling Jesus, King Herod wants to kill you. You better leave. The Pharisees aren't completely altruistic. They're not completely kind to Jesus in this greeting. I think of this warning as a little bit like a salesman who's his region, and he sees someone else in his region telling people about the product, and the salesman says, you better go, and might come up with some safe reason why that salesman should leave the region. But really, the salesman is like, I want you out of here because this is my territory. The Pharisees up in Galilee are telling Jesus, you need to go because they want to be the ones that are controlling the message up there. They're the ones that want to tell everybody about how to keep safe in this world. Now, Jesus kind of sees through the Pharisees. He also is letting them know that Herod isn't going to control his path. He answers, this day and tomorrow and the next day it is that I must finish my course. He's telling the Pharisees, I'm going to stay here as long as it is my path. I'm not going to leave here because that fox, that devious man Herod is out after me, nor am I going to leave here because you tell me it's scary. I'm going to leave when it's time for me to leave. Now the next sentence he says, nevertheless, it's time for me to go to Jerusalem. I love this little moment because Jesus is telling the Pharisees, I'm not going to leave because Herod wants me to leave. I'm not going to leave because you have warned me. But then he leaves, which is a reminder to us that the path that Jesus is on in this world is always going to be at his command, at his direction. Jesus doesn't leave somewhere because he's afraid of what's going on. Jesus doesn't go somewhere because he thinks it's safer. God goes exactly where he needs to go so that he can embrace you into his arms. So he does, though, leave Galilee at this point. And that's the path that he now is on towards Jerusalem. So what is this Jerusalem that he's headed to? Is it a safe place? Jerusalem as a city, as a word, means foundation of peace. David, King David, set that up to be the city for all the nations to see the glory of God shining in this world. The city on a hill, he saw it, to be that place. In his imagination, David builds this city, but it doesn't become that. And then as David builds the city, as Solomon builds the temple, this is supposed to be the place where God's name dwells. It's supposed to be this place of peace. Is that where Jesus is headed? A place of peace? Not quite. He says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that stones the prophets and kills those who are sent to it. Doesn't sound like a city of peace. It sounds really quite the opposite of that. And even Jeremiah, our message from there, is reminding us it's not a new thing. It's not just while Herod and Pontius Pilate are there that Jerusalem has become this dangerous place. Back in the 6th century B.C., so 600 years earlier than Jesus, Jeremiah is receiving the same threats from Jerusalem. Jeremiah has a message to the people that your city is going to be destroyed. And the people say, we need to kill you because we don't like your message. Jerusalem is not a city of peace. But this doesn't just happen. It's not that Jerusalem just woke up one day and said, I want to be a city that's going to reject God's word. I want to be a city that kills those who have been sent by God to declare to us the word. I don't think anybody just wakes up one day and says, today is the day that I'm going to reject and despise God and I'm going to be sent to damnation. I think most people would anticipate, today I'm going to be the one that God has called me to be. And even for those who do not know how to call upon God, we generally think, today I'm going to be a good person. No one sets out purposefully to be that evil guy. And yet, it happens in marriages too, I suppose. I think to my parents, they got divorced when I was 7. I didn't ask my dad right away, but later I asked him and I said, why did you get divorced? Why did you even bother marrying her if that's what you were going to do? In his answer, I learned some things about the relationship between my parents. My dad felt like I was old enough to be able to hear it. We'll just leave that between he and I. But another thing he said was, I want you to know this. I didn't marry your mother with the intention of divorcing her. And he reminded me, no one starts in a relationship with the plan to destroy the relationship. The city of Jerusalem was not founded with the plan to reject God. Our marriages, those marriages that you know of people you love and care about, maybe your own, you didn't start that relationship in order to destroy it. We have some friendships that maybe was something so special, and now you think about something you said or something they said or did, and you know it's no longer a place of peace to be around them anymore. And you wonder, how does it get there? How does it happen that Jerusalem becomes this place that now almost like a proverb, when Jesus says it, it's said in such a way, it almost seems like everybody knows this phrase, oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that stones the prophets and kills those who sent to it, as if that's now become the name that Jerusalem is known by, rather than its own name, a foundation of peace. How does that happen, that the bridegroom approaching the bride is afraid? How is it that our own relationships fall apart? It's a simple word, the answer is. But it's a word, as simple as it is, only 3 letters, has an amazing impact to stop our ears, to hide our eyes, to prevent our feet from moving. And that word is sin. Sin has the ability for us to no longer see the people who God has placed into our lives to love and care. Sin has this amazing ability to be able to silence our ears to God's call for mercy and care in this world. It is amazing how sin will cement our feet into a place of vanity rather than to move with love to someone who is in need. And yet Jesus goes. This is the moment of grace for us, that the accusation is there. There will be those that refuse help. There will be those who reject the love of God. There will be those in Jerusalem that will stone the prophet and kill those who are sent to it. And yet, what does Jesus do? He goes. He goes with this image of the hen that gathers the brood under her wings. He goes to be the one who stretches his arms out in the cross to embrace and hold us in his love. As much as there are threats and frights in this world, he will yet still stretch his arms out for us. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, why have you become the way you are? And yet I give thanks that our Savior still goes to us. To each of you, as you think about your own life and you think about the things that you've said and done that have given you the cause for others to be afraid, or maybe for others you know, and you think, I've tried to share help with them, but they've refused and rejected it. To anyone that feels refused, anybody that feels rejected, anybody who feels today like you are one that others should caution about, he wants you to know that Jesus still walks towards you. He still hears you, and he still sees you. Because as much as Jesus says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem," our gospel lesson finishes with this, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Because indeed, Jesus does come in the name of the Lord. He comes as a name that is stronger than violence. He comes as a name that is stronger than what Jerusalem has become. Because Jesus comes with the name of God in this world where a name has been forgotten. He makes it known again. Because our Savior is the one who walks to Jerusalem. Our Savior is the one who walks to you. And to anyone that you have for a time felt like it's just too hard and I should walk past, let it be known now. Jesus walks to them. And may that change and transform their hearts in such a way that you can see them again, hear them again, and know how to walk to them in such a way that they know they are loved as well. In the name of Jesus, amen.